Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money. Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, well, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open
90%.
Southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys Podcast, and with you weekly now. So place where money meets politics, a lot like our format with the radio show. Have a ton of fun with this, and like us on YouTube, right? Is that the expression?
I think it's...
I have no idea where to start. I mean, the funny thing is stock market's been doing pretty well, but there certainly has been... two parallel universes. You see the stock market doing well, and you sent me an article earlier this morning about 10 numbers that show the U.S. has fallen into a horrifying economic depression, which, you know, by the numbers, we're absolutely in a depression. I guess, you know, the key is this thing, will it turn into a full-blown depression, or will we actually go back to some kind of a normal at some point? I get a little nervous because every single day I continue to see nobody with a set of stones. And what I mean by that is, at what point does somebody say, okay, we are going to have football and it's okay for people to go come back into the stadium in August? I'm so sick and tired of people canceling stuff 3 months out. I mean, we know the numbers are going in the right direction. We know, by the way, that opening up things is actually having a positive net effect, not a negative net effect. I don't understand why nobody. If I was in control of the NFL right now, I would say we will absolutely be there on day one.
Yep.
We will absolutely have fans in the stands. If you feel at that point your immune system is compromised, please don't come. Enjoy it from home. But if you don't, we'd welcome you to be there. We're starting.
For those folks that say, you know, you guys value money over life, as all these universities now are realizing that, kids are not re-enrolling. They're all announcing now that they're going to open in the fall. Why? Yeah,
I know.
Because money's important. I mean, I hate to say it, but economics and money is important, right?
Yep.
We talked about last week, the UN, based on the contraction that they're expecting, is literally forecasting tens of millions of deaths. Now, I think they'll be far off, hopefully.
Sure.
But let's say we have one-tenth of what they expect.
Right.
That's 5 million deaths.
Right.
Due to starvation or people being pushed into poverty. There's, you know, you cannot just simply look at COVID in a vacuum or COVID in a box, as you've been saying.
Yeah.
There's other impacts that you have to factor in that nobody seems willing to factor in.
Right.
We have caused ourselves a great depression again. Now, we'll probably come out of this a lot quicker because hopefully we'll have the right politicians in place that won't prolong it. The Great Depression was prolonged, very simply, because we passed something called the Smoot-Hawley tariffs. The Smoot-Hawley tariffs was a protectionist move to basically put crushing tariffs on any import. It threw the rest of the world into a depression. And because of what the liberals are trying to do now, piling on of massive social programs to change their image of America,
like
Social Security, Medicare, all these different safety net programs that were put in place.
$1 trillion wish list of social programs.
Well, they're now going bankrupt, right? I mean, all these programs are going bankrupt now. You can't say, well, Social Security, what a success, right?
Yep.
Guess what? What a success. Out of money in 8 to 10 years. That's a great success, right? The thing that frustrates me, Mike, is that, like, I pulled up our Twitter feed this morning just to click on the, you know, what was kind of trending. Here's the first thing that comes up, okay? COVID-19. Medical experts warn the virus may be a constant threat for some time. Guess where these medical experts were from, Mike?
The
World Health Organization, right?
There you go.
The same World Health Organization, by the way, that Trump basically wrote a letter to yesterday saying, and the bye-bye. We're done.
Yeah.
Which is right.
Well, he said he's considering never – why are we even considering that? Don't give them another penny. We know they're useless, right?
No, they're done.
I mean,
Bill Gates can fund them if he wants.
Yeah. There's not the United States taxpayer should not be giving them one penny. Not one penny. They look like they're as corrupt as the top of the FBI, they are. By the way.
These guys don't have any idea what's going on, right? Dr. David Nabarro, the WHO's special envoy, warned that COVID-19 may be a constant threat as research into a potential vaccine continues.
I'm sure it will be a constant threat, but so is flu.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But
so
the thing is
a lot of things.
These folks have no idea.
Smoking's a constant threat, right? We lose 600,000. Cancer is a constant threat, right? There's all kinds of factors that come at us.
Yeah, no idea. They're talking about the fall. To your point, Mike, it's months away. Let's go back a couple of months just for a second here and listen to our own expert in this country as to what he was saying about the virus just in the beginning part of March.
Been fired weeks ago, by the way.
Months ago. He should have been fired. First of all, he should never be there to begin with.
Yep.
Anybody who has been in government now or served for five administrations is a deep state, long-term, entrenched bureaucrat that's got all kinds of conflicts of interest.
Should have come from front line doctors.
Not
doctors
academics.
That are on the front line every single day. I was talking to two nurses yesterday, and they said, Mike, it was a bad virus, but they said this to me. One of the things I don't understand is that people are worried about their children. I said, exactly. That's what I can't figure out either. She said, it happened to be it was wife and husband, both of them nurses, and she said, I just can't figure out. We don't have any deaths in Erie County of children dying, and for these parents to be worried about their children. I said, well, that's the mainstream media, right? That's the fear, the constant, you better be worried. And of course, parents being good parents are scared of their children. They're scared for their children, right? They want to protect their children. That's what we do. But talk about a bunch of crap when it comes to the media, not really giving the message out there that, hey, look at, this is a tough virus. If you've got a compromised immune system, you got to be careful, but your children are going to be okay. They didn't say that. It was like, out there was run and grab your children and bury yourself in your house because this is coming after you.
Yep. I think it was
telling the truth that there's a 0% chance that your children's going to die from this.
You know what the difference is, Mike? And first of all, in Florida never closed any of the daycares. Never. Mm-hmm. Right. They've been open this entire time. Right. You haven't heard about
the school should have been open.
The school should have been open too. You haven't heard about massive, kids getting sick. In fact, you haven't heard about tons of kids getting or anybody getting sick in a huge upticks in Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. Florida's moving now to phase two. Phase one successful. Phase two starting. Georgia phase two starting. Most of the country phase two starting.
By the way, for Governor DeSantis.
Absolutely.
A++.
Well, the media hates him. The media's like, oh my God, look at what Florida's doing. They're gonna go. Looks like they were wrong again. The thing is, they're consistently wrong, and yet they parrot the same narrative over and over and over again. And again, you look at New York, and I'll play some clips of him if we can today. Looking at Cuomo, I think it was Brian Kilmeade this week, or maybe it was Ben Shapiro. I was listening to one of their podcasts or radio shows on WFTL, our Florida station, and I think it was Brian Kilmeade. I think he was talking about airline pilots, and he nailed it. He goes, listen to Captain Sully Sullivan, right? He gets on. Now, he's about to land the plane in the Hudson. Pilots are cooler than cool, right? Mm-hmm. And they instill, you go through turbulence, but we all been on planes, right? It's turbulence. Yeah. There's always people nervous. The pilot comes on and says, we're going to be okay, folks. We're going to go down a little bit smoother air here. We're going to find. Sully Sullivan's like, yeah, we're going to land in the Hudson. No worries. No problem. Brace for impact, he says, right?
Before the seatbelt on.
Brace for impact. We'll land in the Hudson. Like, it's no big deal, right? But it's confidence. Now, imagine if it came out and said, oh my God, we're going to land in the Hudson. Oh my God. Right. People would be jumping out the windows. That's basically what Cuomo did in New York. We don't have enough ventilators.
Still
oh my God.
It.
We don't have
He's
this. Oh my God.
It.
We don't have that. We're all going to die. Oh my God. Basically, what Cuomo did and what a lot of liberal leaders did is they instilled not confidence, but fear. Cuomo's out there spreading fear, going, it's not the time to be fearful. Honest to God, he's like trying to break a record for the least amount of words per minute.
It's not time to be fearful. However, we're not going to open your business for months, so be prepared.
Let me play this clip just from the expert just a couple months ago to hear what he was saying about this virus. Now, again, a lot of things have changed, right? But I just want to illustrate the point that Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, Dr. Seuss, they all know about the same about this virus, which is Zippo.
Yep.
Zippo, right? They're learning, but I don't fault them for making mistakes, but all of a sudden, masks don't matter, but now masks, everybody has to wear one. It's
a
lunacy.
Changes, the thing I do fault them for is not changing with it and not sending more of a positive message that here's the real story, by the way, right?
Yeah.
That story has gone from here's the real story to, you should be scared to death and put a mask on, where mm-hmm. months ago you shouldn't have, right? And right. now we know the numbers are actually way better than they told us. It should be the opposite.
Pennsylvania this morning actually announced that they believe that at least one county has way overinflated to the tune of potentially 80% of the amount of COVID cases simply for federal funds. And so now you're starting to bust all this fraud, right?
Trust me, we will see, mark this podcast, we will see 40 to 50, if not further, that the entire country was at least 40 to 50% inflating their numbers. And what I mean by that doesn't mean people didn't have COVID, but they didn't die of COVID.
Right.
They had 10 things wrong with them, dying of lung cancer, and they marked it as COVID.
Right.
My guess is that real deaths are probably really truly from COVID. It's a very small percentage of the overall deaths.
Well, I talked to somebody actually that I bumped into them at actually my hairdresser, and they were just talking about, you know, they're from New York City, and they said, you know, I know somebody who died. I said, oh my God, what happened? Were they old? No, they were 38 years old. I said, well, what happened? They had a heart attack. I said, okay, well, did they have a heart attack, but they also had COVID, or did COVID cause a heart attack? Because no, COVID caused a heart attack. I'm thinking to myself, how do they know that?
Because
I mean, the reality of it is, you know, people have heart attacks all the time. I mean, I went to high school with somebody very sadly who I want to say, was he 10 years ago? So yeah, about the same age, 36. He had a heart attack and he dropped dead at home. Yeah. You know, he's just tragic, but it happens.
Is stress.
Right. Sometimes it's just the defect in your whatever. But anyway, let me play this clip because this is Dr. Fauci back in early March talking about, if I can actually get my phone to open, talking about, the wearing a mask, because I think this is important for people to hear again. Because, of course, I could not find this anywhere on YouTube, by the way, because they took it off. Right. So I had to go to Lily, who's, you know,
doesn't fit the left wing as scared agenda.
Lily found it on a blog that was linked from a liberal page. And that was because, of course, they didn't remove that yet. So the YouTube mm-hmm. missed that piece. But mm-hmm. here it is.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
No.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Exactly.
What happened to that story?
Gone. Now everybody has to wear masks.
It didn't fit the mainstream left-wing media of pushing this thing into everybody's going to die. It's in the air. Everybody's going to die. You better, mask yourself. What a joke.
At the end of this broadcast, if you're listening on a podcast, if you're on your iTunes or Spotify or whatever, I'll play the clip just to give you an idea of the power of propaganda. And just the amazing part of the mind. This is an old TV show that Prudential turned into a commercial. And it's called the herd mentality, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking herd immunity. I'm talking the herd mentality. If everybody said we need to jump off a cliff right now, that'll save us from this virus, people be lining up at the cliff's edge. They really would. It's you can tell people now. We need to wear foil hats because tin foil seems to repel the virus. You would see everybody out there, 80% of America wearing tin foil hats. What happened to the critical thinking aspects, especially in medicine? By the way, as soon as I heard that they're downplaying certain, doctors are downplaying hydroxychloroquine or whatever it's called. Hydroxychloroquine or whatever it is, they're downplaying certain things. I've never heard that in medicine before, right?
Medicine was always it's an art. It really is.
Right. I mean, there's different treatments. The doctors collaborate and they compare studies.
It might not work for me, right?
Yeah.
And that's the case with lots of different things, right?
Exactly.
People have had heart attacks and miraculously they save them and somebody else has that same heart attack and they can't. You know, it's just the way it rolls.
Yep.
It's a science. Yep,
it really is. Let me play this clip. Is priceless. I don't know if you want to do a little Cuomo, but
absolutely.
This
Andrew
is
Cuomo.
Again.
Lock it up for most of you are listening probably in New York, but for those of you in other states like Florida, you don't get to see this type of ridiculousness. But this is the type of leadership that they say warrants a 75% approval rating right now. So
this is absolutely hysterical.
Apparently, you get better approval ratings if you have more sick people. And you send sick people who you know have COVID-19 from hospitals to nursing homes and get the entire nursing home infected, killing literally thousands of people. apparently that deserves an A+. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's, again, the power of the propaganda, right? We talked about this last week. The power of the media. Yeah. I mean, first of all, anybody with a brain in their head realizes that Cuomo has really, really messed this up big time, right? Lots of mistakes.
The only one reporting it, by the way, is the New York Post.
That's about it. And Dave McKinley. Yeah. That's about
Dave
it.
Dave McKinley. That's it.
He's the only reporter in Western New York that actually reports news and actually goes out and asks questions like, hey, did you think about this? Or what about the nursing homes, Governor Cuomo?
Yeah, what about
deciding to finally clean the subways just 2 weeks ago? Because I would have thought that would have been the first thing you've done, right? It's just amazing. So you look at, you know, the states in this country that didn't open. Or didn't close at all. We had about 9 states, I believe, that never even closed anything. Yeah. And everybody on the left was like, oh, my God, look at how irresponsible it's going to they're going to cause everyone else. There's not really been any measurable impact of a difference, right?
No. You can't, said that, by the way.
Oh, yes.
We said that would happen. It's called that would happen. Called it.
There's no difference. I mean, so we've destroyed
it
our economy for nothing.
That there's a pretty clear path that opening and getting people out is way, way, way better for your health than locking yourself in a house.
No doubt.
We know the states that did that ended up with worse numbers. Cuomo himself said, I'm surprised the people coming in, 66, almost 70% of the people coming to the hospital listened to me and locked down in their house. Less than 2% going into the hospital didn't listen to me. They went out and had fun and did what they did, ran their life. How could this be? Okay, well, my 8-year-old could figure out, all right, I guess getting out, moving around, you know, getting your immune system rolling and getting outside is actually healthier for you than locking yourself into a house. I don't know.
You have all
I think my 8-year-old could figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, locking the gyms down. And there was some New Jersey police officers, by the way. I don't know if you saw
that.
Fox
good
News.
For them.
They went into a gym and said, hey, you know, just so you know, you're in violation of whatever, but have a great day. Good for you.
That's the right way to go. Officers should be doing.
Absolutely. God bless you, folks. I'm hearing other stories, though, of police officers, you know, arresting soccer moms for trying to open up salons or ripping people off of beaches by the hair. That's not your job.
Did you hear De Blasio? That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Did you see De Blasio's conference yesterday?
No.
He goes, we're opening up the beaches for Memorial Day, but if you go in the water, if you even think about stepping in the water, we're going to drag you out and put you in jail.
What for? How asinine is that?
Well, first of all, isn't the water in New York City like 55 degrees at this point? It's middle of May.
Wouldn't you want them in the water? Well, wouldn't you want people in the water?
I mean, I don't know, man. I would think.
What does that do?
Well, I think what he was saying is there's no lifeguards there to protect you if you go in the water. You should never go in the water without lifeguards. Ever. Right. Ever to have somebody
down
who
in our
is
South Florida office.
Come on.
I make it a point to always try to swim in the ocean
but what's
when I'm
the,
down there.
Seriously,
and never once have I seen a lifeguard on our beach.
No, what's the temperature though of the waters off of New York City? In all seriousness,
yeah. 50,
I mean, what is it? Can't
degrees,
be
probably
right. 50, 60.
Yeah.
Who's going in the water in New York City in the middle of May? Mm-hmm. It's 60 degrees outside. Are you crazy going in the water? I'm not going in the water unless it's like a hot tub.
If I want to go in a wetsuit and float around on a
54 degrees, Mike.
Screw you. I mean, if I want to go swimming in 50 degree water, I'm screw you.
No.
I mean, that's my option, right? Yes, am I a little bit nuts?
Yes.
Might my legs freeze?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yes.
That's not his right to tell me what
to
do.
But that's liberals, right? See, De Blasio wants to tell you everything, right?
This
again.
State, by the way,
if you haven't figured this
out
yet, oh my God,
New York State is so screwed.
Yeah.
And there are so many awesome people out there that continue to fight and fight and fight. I'm not sure. I'm going to say this. We've been doing this for 20 years, and we've been part of that fight, 20-something years.
Yeah.
It's over. The fight's over. I mean, he has total dictatorial power, Andrew Cuomo.
Yep.
He's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. He put almost 300 new laws into effect in the last, 8 weeks
that
or something
great.
Like that. Let me tell you, folks, it is over.
Yep.
Unless there's a complete bankruptcy and the federal government can come in and say, you know what, the only way we're going to let you and help you is if there's a hard, solid control board and we're going to start cutting all kinds of stuff. I just don't see how this state survives, and especially areas like Western New York. And by the way, there will be still be plots of success. That's what happens with socialism.
Yep.
The gap between the rich and the poor in New York State will get bigger. There will be more people who are more successful. If you have 3 pizzerias and one of them moves down to South Florida, There's still two.
Yep.
And one of those are going to dominate. So there's going to still be opportunities to make money. However, the bigger group, the bigger picture is going to get uglier and uglier and uglier. Get ready for the San Francisco people in the streets shortly.
That's exactly what we said.
Get ready. You're going to have $2 million homes and you'll have $50,000 homes.
We said that 2 years. Well, we've been saying it for probably like 3 to 4 years now, at least, that New York State is on its way to looking like California, right?
Yeah. It's accelerating now, though. This will accelerate it. Only because of the response, right? Response been, look at, we need to, if Andrew was out talking about getting businesses open, mm-hmm. a pro-growth strategy, it's time to cut the size of government. You know, this may be an opportunity to right-size government. You'd have way more confidence and have way more people sticking around. I have never seen so many folks, and we manage money for thousands of people, never seen so many people say, I'm leaving. I'm going to Tennessee, I'm going to Texas, and I'm going to Florida.
Well, let's just put this in perspective for people. We probably have about 3,000 to 4,000 households that we work with, right? I have met with about 50 to 60 clients in the last 2 to 3 weeks, and I would say that probably about a quarter to a third of them are seriously looking. They're not even just considering now.
No, right.
They've actually hired real estate agents. They're making travel plans as soon as they can travel, and they're planning on going to Tennessee and looking around at different places. Now, to put those numbers together for you, 20%, just 20% of 3,000 is 600 families leaving the area. Yeah. That's just us. That's just our little sampling, right? You talk about a million people in Western New York, right? Now, here's the thing. Out of those million people, sadly, a good chunk of them are under the poverty line in the city of Buffalo. Roughly 30% of the city of Buffalo is below the poverty line. Do you think they can very easily just pull up stakes, move to Tennessee?
No, they're not leaving.
They're stuck.
No, they're not
They're stuck, right? They're stuck with the crappy schools. Yep. They're stuck with the, you can't go outside. They're stuck with the, I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Look, the thing that really makes me the most frustrated, Mike, is that you've got governors like DeSantis. You've got governors like Abbott. You know, people that actually understand business owners and their needs. You know, you've got the president, obviously, who is a business owner. Or understands business owners, they're all advocating, saying, look, you know, obviously we got to do the best we can to stay safe. We don't want to put anybody at risk. But at the same time, we also understand that these are people's lives' work. They have to get back to work. They have to pay their bills. Yep. People rely upon those small business owners for their jobs as well. Yep. We
and
can't
the,
pay for
the
this forever.
The suicides and the overdose, those deaths matter as well.
But the Democrat leaders are like, if you open— They're threatening people, right? I'm going to take away your occupancy permit.
Right.
You're never going to work here again.
Your power
down. My God, we had a veteran on this Saturday, right? This past Saturday, we had Ronnie from I can't think of the name of
Robbie from Unleashed.
Unleashed, yes.
Park, New York.
From Unleashed, right? So he opens his business yesterday, immediately harassed by the town inspector, the police officer. We're going to pull your permit.
The
threatening
them,
right?
Officers,
think about this.
If we see people in your gym, we're going to come and arrest you. Shame
14,
on you. Shame on you.
14-year veteran in multiple tours. In Afghanistan and Iraq, and this is how we're going to treat a veteran. But even despite the veteran, he's a business owner, right? He's employing people, right?
Yep.
We're employing people, dozens of people. Those of you that say, by the way, I love these liberals, like you should just, we get these liberal love notes, folks, so they're just wonderful, right? You should just pick up and go somewhere else. Okay.
Like
well, tell that to our employees that rely upon us to pay their mortgage, too, right?
What about the 20 years worth of heart and soul we've put into our business, right?
Please. Do you realize
you
that
like
for those folks
I was
that.
Reading last
sorry,
week, remember, we had somebody who said, this is ridiculous. All these people bitching about their businesses and stuff.
Yeah.
Just sit around, have a beer, and wait until it's over.
Yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Moron.
Right. Yes.
Like, clearly, no brain in his head as to what actually goes into building a business, how to maintain a business. it'd be nice to sit on the couch and grab a beer. However, guess what? The mortgage is due, Happy Jack. The taxes are due, right?
Well, that was probably from the fun-loving 24-year-old who loves YouTube and playing video games and hanging out all day with Netflix. I mean, seriously, this is who this is coming from. Or is coming from the person who works for the town, works for the state,
still
getting
a paycheck,
haven't skipped a beat. So, yeah, would it be wonderful if we could all just sit home and receive a paycheck? Remember when Nancy Pelosi said, oh, wouldn't it be great if they had health insurance so artists could just paint then and not really be worried about, you know, those pesky things like jobs, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all just sit at home and Nancy Pelosi could pay our bills, right? I mean, that would be a wonderful fantasy land that does not actually exist.
We'd love to have our financial firm just run itself.
Yeah, that's great. All of our employees could stay home, but yeah, we could still pay them. And, yeah, and yeah, that'd be great, right? It'd be a wonderful utopia.
Yep.
Yeah, wonderful utopia. This is this press conference week, though, Cuomo was talking about, he finally put a dashboard up. So what's happened in Western New York, for those of you not from Western New York, is not only are they playing games with the numbers, now they're just hiding the numbers, right? So what we find out this week is that, you know, they stopped reporting the numbers to, because people were putting them up online and, oh, they're being taken out of context. How do you take number of hospital beds occupancy out of context? Right? That's like saying,
well, I'll tell you how you do it. You make it worse than it really is by hiding the numbers. That's who's taking it out of context.
Yeah,
the left wing.
Exactly.
And all these, you know, elected officials.
Right.
I got to stop calling them leaders because they're not leaders.
It's hard to take
officials.
It's hard to take raw data, though, out of context. This is raw data, right? Raw data is raw data.
Isn't that
what they want? Is they want to be.
Isn't that what we were told we were supposed to look at? The science.
But
right?
To your point, Mike, they want to manipulate the data before we see the data. So Governor Cuomo this week announces that we're going to put a dashboard together. Everybody, and the first thing you should do in the morning is look up this dashboard. But listen to his disappointment. This is the most hilarious clip. I watched this, and somebody in the office, in the Florida office, saw it, and he said, is this real? Was that an SNL clip? Was he on Saturday Night Live? I'm like, no, that's an actual real press conference.
That's a real governor.
Unbelievable. Let me play a little bit of this clip, because this is unbelievable. It really is.
You can track that data and know exactly where you are. It's like taking your blood pressure every morning. It's like getting your cholesterol count every morning. You can know exactly where you are every morning. And not just for the elected officials, not just for government. This is all about what people do. This is about what citizens do. And what the elected officials are trying to do, what I'm trying to do, is to inform the citizens so they can better protect themselves.
Yes. Transparency is key.
They know what decisions they should make.
Right. I thought we weren't allowed to make our own decisions.
We're accumulating, we're making it in a very transparent way. And I
hold for 1 second. Yeah. Here's my decision, Andrew. I want to make my own decision, and an informed one. I want to open up my business again. How about that?
It's got to be very heartbreaking.
That's my own decision, right? Can I think for myself? I'd like to open my own business. And by the way, and you've pointed this out multiple times, Glenn, businesses will think through this, right? Mm-hmm. So look, if I'm a business and I understand that people want to social distance, I will do that, right? You don't need
to tell me. Our office people getting sick, right?
If I say to everybody, cram into my business, nobody shows, right. I'm gonna change my plan real fast, right? I'm going to say, look, this is not working. People feel uncomfortable. I need to sell stuff. Okay, we'll put the little tape on the line. We'll get everybody 6 feet apart, right? They'll figure it out.
Our employees, just like our clients, are like our family, right? We want to do everything we can to keep our family safe, right? Whether I want to keep my kids safe, I want to keep my spouse safe, I want to keep my parents safe, right? We all want to keep everybody safe, right?
Yep.
But it's about doing things responsibly and realizing, again, that unfortunately, if we could all hide in our basement forever, that would be great. But we can't. It's just not economic reality. I hate to say it, but the government can't just print money forever and ever and ever and ever and ever with no consequences.
No.
It runs out at some point.
They can. We just turn it into firewood like they did in Germany.
Exactly. Yep. Well, that's exactly what happens. Mm. The thing that's a positive, let me play this clip and let me talk about some of the positive, because the demand is still there. And I think it's a lot easier to rekindle supply than it is to rekindle demand. And we'll talk about that in a second. Don't let me forget that thought, but let me play the rest of this clip.
Get up in the morning, they have their cup of coffee, and they go online to find out where their county is.
That's what I do.
How are they doing?
First thing.
And calibrate their behavior that way.
Mm-hmm. Calibrate.
The state has developed a very elaborate dashboard of relevant local information.
Mm-hmm. Relevant.
They told me they were designing a dashboard. I got very excited about it. I sent them a picture of what I think is one of the really iconic dashboards.
You should be watching this. If you're listening to this,
Corvette,
go to YouTube and watch this. The Financial Guys
beautiful
YouTube
dashboard. I said they should consider that design when they were doing a state dashboard. They came back with this design. Mm. It's a New York State dashboard. How it in any way mirrors a dashboard from a 1967 Corvette, I have no idea, but how can government be expected to have the same artistic design that we had 50 years ago? So here's the state dashboard. You notice
He's
the
so
iconic design and curves and art that was used in it, but it has all the information.
Even if it's not bashing it.
Artistic.
It's not artistic.
And it has all the information for all the regions statewide, so every region can compare themselves to where other regions in the state. Right now, by the criteria that we have.
Just hilarious. Just you can see it's got the curves.
Oh my God! I'm supposed to get up in the morning. Look at this dashboard, and if there's five more cases in my region last night, what do I do? Like, I take a different way to work.
I guess that's
what
right.
A joke.
The thing is, he's so disappointed. The poor marketing person that put the dashboard together in the slideshow is probably like, I did my best.
It is government. They're not artists.
They're not really artistic. You know, we can't expect them to be as artistic. Nice lines and curves. It's all square and like symmetrical. It's hilarious. But it actually looks like a functional, more of a. If I was designing a dashboard for people to get information, be honestly, I would have designed it like the person designed it, not like the dashboard of a 1967
Corvette
or whatever.
Seven Corvette.
But the disappointment in his voice, not what I was hoping for. I'm just totally disappointed.
What they're hoping for is a spike in numbers, which they never got.
Good Lord.
What they were hoping for is they were all planning for this big, devastating. I mean, we've heard Governor DeSantis nailed it. Mm-hmm. I was told I need 465,000 beds. We used 2,000. It's time to open up.
Didn't Our hospital work. Capacity is at 10% right now, Mike.
Yeah. We're 10%. Blessed that didn't come in the way we thought. I think we can all agree, as Democrats and Republicans, we didn't know where the data was going to go. We know where the data is now. It's time to open up the football games. It's time to go back to baseball games. And if you feel in any way, shape, or form your immune system is compromised, you should stay at home. You know, I heard this guy, 74-year-old New Yorker, and there was apparently some restaurants that just opened and some younger folks were hanging out having drinks in New York City. Mm-hmm. And the 74-year-old said, they're going to kill us. Well, why? How?
Right.
How?
Are they breaking into your house?
Are you going down there to drink with them?
Right.
Are you? Because my understanding is, Mr. 74-year-old, you are planning on staying in your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to stay in your house, and that is effective, right? That's what you're telling us, that everybody should stay in your house because that is a solution, although the numbers don't support that, then you should stay in your house for the next few weeks. But those young people who feel like their immune system is not compromised should get out there and should get going and get economic activity rolling again.
Exactly.
So we don't have millions of suicides and millions of people globally starving.
Did you hear this week, yesterday's press conference where President Trump just makes the media head explode? Where he goes, yeah, I'm taking hydroxychloroquine right now. Taking it right now. What? Did you hear that or no? Did you hear that? Oh, my God, it was great.
I heard he said it. I haven't.
It's priceless. It's so good. He just, like, they stopped, like, what? Really? Are you serious? Like, it was so funny. Let me see if I can find it here. May take me a minute. But he just, I love it because he just drives him insane. Where did I find that clip from
before?
Yeah,
he does. While you're doing that, maybe we could play another clip of Cuomo before we head out here.
Let's see here. I got to find it now.
Did you see Central California town, as you're bringing it up, declares itself sanctuary city for business? Love it.
No, that's good, though. That's what you need. Well, now some of these governors are basically going after the mayors and the town supervisors, saying, you know, if you open against our demands, we're going to cut off your aid. I think President Trump should be the same thing. We're going to cut off your aid. I mean, I think he should just basically cut it off at some point, right? I mean, just outrageous.
Absolutely.
What happened to that clip I had of Trump? I had it pulled up here and everything.
Absolutely. Now, unfortunately, in the state of New York, people are the mainstream media and the governor has everybody so scared that these business owners are put in such a hard place, right? I mean, you know, people are literally threatening lives if you open your business. Because they're so scared, right? So they're torn.
Right.
Oh, my God, I'm going to lose my business. I need to open this thing up, but I don't want people smashing my windows in because I did it.
Right. Well, the crazy thing is, it's like, you know, how dare you open your business? You should rot in hell. I'm going to come, you know, get in your face and, you know, throw a brick through your window or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, it really is, you know, crazy what some of these folks are.
You're opening up your bicycle store. I'm going to smash your windows. But on the way, I'm going to stop at Walmart first and grab some supplies.
Right. There was a video of this woman, and I'm sure we're going to see these repeated all over the country, right? The busybodies, right? All the busybodies out there that are, look at this. Look at, they're all together. Look, they're not social distancing. You know, their video camera, turning people in, right? Those folks are all liberals. Every single one of them.
No doubt about it.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
Because they're all, you know, most of the mindset of liberal in general is, you do what I tell you to do, but I'm going to do something different. I use the example of somebody I know who, you know, is following everything, wearing masks and everything else. But, you know, their kids are still going to the lessons. And then, you know, he's still getting his haircut, right?
Yeah.
Because, well, nobody else is getting their haircut, so I might as well get my haircut. Oh, I see. So it's okay for you. Are you special? Are you better than me? Seriously, I'm asking that question to liberals. Is it somehow you're better than everybody else because we're supposed to follow the rules, but you can get away? It's just, it's so aggravating, to be honest with you.
I'll give you another one. I ran into somebody who, you know, she was very, very, you got to wear a mask. Shame on you if you're not, right? Said, your hair looks great. How are you getting your hair done?
Mm-hmm.
She, well, I have somebody come over and do it.
Oh. Well, how did that work?
So apparently, if you go to like Great Clips, you might get COVID. But if somebody from a store like that comes over and cuts your hair at your house, you won't get it.
Oh.
And it's okay for them to do it, but not for me. Right?
Okay.
I get it.
So that's like I'm de Blasio done. Going to the park and going for a walk.
Yeah.
But we can't. The going to the YMCA for a two-hour workout. By the way, don't we all, I mean, as the mayor, you know, just like all business owners, I mean, don't you all go to the gym at like 8:30, spend about 2 hours there, take a shower, then eventually roll into your office around 10:30, 11? Bill does. Bill de Blasio does. That's basically his schedule, folks. Yeah. He works about 10 to maybe 4-ish. Right. Meanwhile, he's paying his wife. We as taxpayers have allowed Bill de Blasio to transfer to his wife $1 billion with a B dollars. It's insanely disgusting. And when they talk about in New York, well, they're going to be cutting firefighters, police officers, and teachers. Those are the first things to go. Yep. The next
police
thing,
officers first, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Police officers
absolutely.
First. You will be number one.
For sure.
He already knows, first of all, de Blasio, Cuomo, they all know that you guys and girls have not supported them the way that they think you should have supported them.
Absolutely.
Right? So you will be the first. That's why I was so proud to hear those police officers in New Jersey walk into that gym and say, well, I'm just letting you know you're violating some kind of clause here, but have a great day. We'll see you later. That's exactly what you should be doing.
But what's going on in New York City, Mike? Because the New York City Police Department hates Bill de Blasio.
Right.
They hate him.
Yet they're listening to him.
Why are you listening to this guy?
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me, right? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Because
I'm telling you, the
local media in New York City has brainwashed everybody. Everybody. It has spilled off. Look, at the rest of the country sort of watches Cuomo. Everybody in New York State is watching Cuomo. He has done nothing but fail us from a leadership position,
no doubt.
Right? Scare people, stocking ventilators, sending people back that are sick into nursing homes. He's done nothing but fail us, but he's done one thing really well, and that is scare the living daylights out of everybody, right?
Yep. To your point on the police unions, right? The police unions are Cuomo and de Blasio they've lost the support of the police union, right? But they still got the teachers union in the tank, right? No matter what. So who do you think they're going to cut first?
We've got some great friends that are teachers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know many of you are independent thinkers, but some of the leadership in those teachers unions, now they're pissed off because they want to go to virtual schools.
Yeah.
But they'll still vote this guy in. They were pissed off about Common Core. They still voted him in.
And he knows it, right?
I don't get it.
So he knows it. So he's going to reward teachers with keeping their jobs no matter what.
No doubt.
Police officers, though, you're first on the line. The next thing
you
go, this is like a hostage situation. I said this on Saturday. And we're tied up in the basement right now. The next thing is Cuomo starts lopping off the proverbial fingers and toes, right?
Yep.
And that is, I can't afford to open the parks. I'm sorry. Campgrounds? No.
Yep.
Things like, I'll give you an example. In New York, I used to hunt a lot, you know, getting too old to trudge the swamp anymore. But, Tonawanda Swamp, for example, it's a state refuge. Nobody is there. Okay. There's no kiosk. There's no pulling. There's parking lots. Of course, it's maintained, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's maintained typically by Fish and Wildlife Service and things like that. Things are not going to cut. But you watch. They'll start talking about, Chestnut Ridge Park. Just can't open that. Even though the highway department probably mows a lawn there. I'm not exactly sure if they have their own grounds crew for it. I don't think they do.
But,
I think it's part
Medicaid,
of the town.
Which is beyond excessive.
Oh,
right?
No, they won't cut that.
We spend more than Texas and California combined. Won't be touched.
Not
the
a
welfare?
Nickel.
The welfare and the free handouts won't be touched. The free college for illegal immigrants won't be touched.
No.
The free stimulus for and welfare for the illegal immigrants won't be touched. Don't worry about that. That'll be just fine.
Exactly. Two more things. Let me play this clip from Trump because the media, you can just hear him like, what did he just say? Really? Is he crazy? He's taking what? This is great.
A lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. And you'd be surprised at how many people are taking it, especially the frontline workers, before you catch it. The frontline workers, many, many are taking it. I happen to be taking it.
hydroxychloroquine?
I'm taking it, hydroxychloroquine. Right now,
Right now.
A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories. And if it's not good, I'll tell you right. I'm not going to get hurt by it. It's been around for 40 years for malaria, for lupus, for other things. I take it. Frontline workers take it. A lot of doctors take it. Excuse me.
Did you know the
percentage of frontline workers? A lot of doctors take it. I take it.
It's extremely small in actually getting the COVID virus.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is,
by the way, way less than the people that have self-quarantined themselves.
Oh, no question. It's amazing. Well, the interesting, in France, they were putting nicotine patches on because apparently nicotine in smokers, the nicotine, for some reason, helps to fight the virus off. The thing is, you know, and I think it was Fox News, and shame on Fox. What the hell is the matter with you people over at Fox News? Seriously.
Some of these.
Who was it? The guy was like, don't take this. This will kill you. This will kill you. Right. Don't listen to President Trump. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Mike, it's funny because Mike Hayflick's mom has been on it forever, and he was like, I didn't realize
it will kill you if you drink fishbowl cleaner. Yes. Yeah. If you're stupid enough to drink fishbowl cleaner, I'm sorry, I call that natural selection. I don't mean to be mean. But those, you know, it just, look, I mean, it just is what it is, right? We've used this drug for 40 years for malaria. I was reading on Twitter. The Twitter sphere is amazing. It really is. It's unfiltered stupidity is what it is. It's people,
you can hide behind a keyboard.
Oh,
right?
My God. But people can type stuff up that is the stupidest stuff. Somebody wrote this morning, I read, or last night, I had to comment on it. They said, well, you know, Trump, irresponsible. He's not a doctor. He should. Maybe we're not using hydroxychloroquine because we're saving it for the real use. for what, that malaria outbreak anytime now in our country?
Stick it with the ventilators in New York City and somewhere.
What are you talking about? First of all, it's easy to make, and there's plentiful supplies around the globe, right? Yeah. Secondarily, we are at zero risk of a malaria outbreak in this country.
Right.
Zero. Yeah. And if we had it, we would have no problem obtaining enough hydroxychloroquine. It's so stupid. They're just, it's just absolute stupidity. It really is, you know.
Yeah.
I saw another tweet I read was, you know, all these business owners that are crying because we're on lockdown and they're crying about Antifa not being out there protesting fascism. It's not fascism if you can still go to the grocery store and this and that. It is fascism, however, if it's your business that they force to close. Do you not understand that?
These same people hated Walmart.
They hate them. Yes.
Walmart, right?
Big box stores.
Now they're shutting down Joe's bike store. Right?
Yep.
They're shutting down the mom and pop stores.
Yep.
That they did whatever they could to try to say we need to save these folks. Walmart's going to put them out. Now they're crushing them, absolutely crushing them. Most of the, I read an article the other day, a third of them won't make it out of this. A third.
Oh,
that's
at least.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's
a
crazy.
Third.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The economic landscape, folks, and I'm going to say this now, we've been saying this for weeks.
Changing for decades.
You have no idea what's coming. And and again, we've talked about the difference between the stock market and the economy. I can't stress that enough.
Oh, yeah.
The stock market and the economy are two different things, okay? There's going to be losers in the stock market, no question.
No question.
But there's going to be a lot more losers in the economy.
Well,
this is
going
to push.
Watch the gap. The gap between the rich and the poor will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? The top folks will make it out of this.
Yeah,
they'll be bigger,
they'll be fine.
Those mom and pop stores that go away, you know, there'll be a few folks out there that scoop them up and really make some cash out of this. Unfortunately, the gap's going to get wider. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get, you know, it's going to be harder. It's
way really, harder. We're going to push. It. We're going to push millions of people, Mike, into the poverty level. That's what we're doing.
No doubt. You're going to push millions more the other way. And there will be huge success stories out of this, right?
Yep.
There will be huge success stories out of this. And
it'll
be
the few though.
Failures.
Let me ask you this, and this is I asked this the other day, and this is for our listeners out there. Remember back in the 70s, those of you that are old enough to remember. Back in the 70s, there was all kinds of commercials of starving kids around the world, right?
Yep.
And, you know, UNICEF and other, you know, charitable organizations, Catholic Charities and others, were doing the best they can to do a constant appeal to raise money. You could adopt a child. You'd pay money, you know, every month to help to feed an impoverished child around the world. You don't see many of those commercials anymore.
Nope.
And the reason for that is not because we've eradicated poverty around the world or starvation, but we have taken a huge dent out of it.
Sure,
absolutely.
Sure. Unemployment rates going down to 3% and 4% here.
I'm just talking
nations.
I'm talking the last 40 years, though. I'm talking about
but
50 years.
The unemployment rate going down, right? Economic prosperity is bleeding out throughout the world.
Huge.
Right? And to
huge.
Your point is, that's going to start to contract itself.
Exactly. So the UN was talking about, you know, just a 5% contraction leading to between 5 5 to 50 million people into starvation. 50 wow. million. That's probably a close number. I would say 5 to 10 million will probably starve to death based on this correction. This contraction of economics. And those
hundreds
are, oh, that's not true.
Flu,
look,
million starvation.
Right, crazy.
Hundreds of thousands flu, million starvation.
Right, we've pushed in this country. There were so many people that had just gotten themselves into the middle class, right? They had done well because, as you said, Mike, the economy was down to 3-something percent of unemployment. People taking Uber jobs. Think about the opportunities that people had. I watched a great interview this week on CNBC from one of the angel investors. Said, you know, people are not being forced to take these jobs. These people act like, oh, these Uber drivers are being so... People want these jobs. They want the work flexibility. They want the ability to turn it on or turn it off. They want... Once you become an employee, be careful what you wish for, right? Because now, suddenly, you have to work their hours.
That's right.
He said, listen, the people would rather work a Uber as opposed to serving somebody a latte at Starbucks for $8 an hour. Mm. That's their choice, right?
Have the flexibility, more money, right? Nobody's forcing them into that. It's just a flexible position to be able to earn some cash.
But for a lot of go-getters, there's lots of jobs like that out there. Uber, Lyft, Grubhub, all kinds of private companies. Not a lot of these are private, not even public. Right? These private companies that are employing people by the hundreds, by the thousands, right? Great opportunities. It's allowed a lot of people in this country, millions of people, to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and grab their piece of the middle class. Some of those folks are getting into the upper middle class and even into the upper class, right?
And you know how
awesome mobility.
They're working hard.
We're pushing
the old American dream. Work hard.
Yep, absolutely. We're pushing all the exactly. We're pushing all these people now back down under the poverty line, right? And we're doing it on purpose. That's what kills me about this whole thing. It's like, wow, it's not our fault. We had a virus. It is our fault. It is our fault because it's our fault because we made these decisions to lock things down. And I said this last week. I was cool with the first 2 weeks. Back in March, we don't know what's going on. Okay, fine. Shut it down for 2 weeks, see what happens. Then they extended it to Easter, and I said, all right, Easter's probably okay. We can all recover from Easter. It's a 2 to 3 week, maybe 4 week. It's not going to, most businesses can sustain that, right? We talked about restaurants having anywhere between 14 and 28 days in cash. Okay, fine. Then they came out with stimulus. Okay, that helps out to lengthen that amount of time. We're 2.5 to 3 months in now, folks. Yep. Certain places like Massachusetts, they're all down.
I was
crazy.
A little different. I said from day one, you never shut it down. I was like,
not completely, no.
This is the flu? Absolutely not. I mean, I said from day one, I'm like, these people are acting like there's HIV in the air.
It hasn't.
A cure.
It hasn't
and
had
I understand.
Any impact.
I'm sympathetic to it, right? Like, there's people that go, oh, you're just lucky you didn't get it. I understand it's tough.
It's
have
brutal.
Friends that have gotten it.
Yeah,
I get it. It's tough. But the cure cannot be worse than the
well, it is.
The solution.
Yeah, the solution was worse than the virus. I mean, no question about it.
The solution cannot be worse than the flu itself, and we are making it so much worse, so much worse.
Mark my words. We will lose millions of people.
Millions of people.
Because of the reaction we took to this virus. And there's no denying it. When you look at places like Sweden, when you look at places like South Dakota, when you look at the states, 9 states or so in this country that did nothing as far as lockdown goes. Florida never shut down daycares. Yep. You did not see a huge difference.
Don't tell me that, New York got these people. If the virus was as explosive as they told us, then keeping kids in daycare and all that stuff, it would have exploded in the state. Florida would have looked so much worse. These states that kept open would have looked so much worse.
So why did New York get hit harder? New York got hit harder for a lot of reasons. Number one, population density is part of it. Not all of it, because you can make the same case with L.A. Bad decisions were a big part of it, right?
Huge.
Nursing homes being forced to take COVID-positive patients. That's a bad decision. Finally getting around to cleaning the subways just a week or two ago. Well, bad decision. That should have been done months ago.
Quarantining people was a bad decision,
clearly.
To be honest with you.
Clearly.
Keeping people in their house looks like it was a bad decision. When Andrew Cuomo says, I am shocked that 70% of the people that are coming in COVID-positive now that need our help are the ones that listen to us. It looks like locking people in their house was actually the worst decision, right?
Yep.
When his numbers say, hey, look, only 2% of the folks coming into the hospital were people that didn't listen to me. They went out and just lived their lives and did what they had to do, right?
Yep.
What? That's a bad mistake. Now, to your point is, we didn't know that before. Okay.
Right. So change
it. It's time to be honest with this and say, look, that's not working. Open the damn economy. Let people go back to work.
Exactly. I mean, now look at the data. Make a new decision, right? and go in a different direction.
Numbers, by the way, you see that the other day? He's like, absolutely no way Erie County's opening up. Then all of a sudden the lawsuits come in. He goes, yeah. Look at that. Overnight, we go from phase 1700 to phase 1.
Well, it looks like we've met the criteria. Well, lo and behold. Like, wow, look at
the
that.
The numbers changed. No, they didn't.
Literally. No, they didn't change. They didn't change.
No, they didn't.
Well, we have not had the... Yeah, exactly. As soon as the lawsuit's filed... Here's the thing. They know they're going to lose the lawsuit, right?
Yep.
So they don't want to be forced... To eat crow and say, well, we're forced to reopen. What they want to be able to say is, see, we were right.
One,
we
two,
did it.
Three
right?
now. One, two, three. There's lawsuits coming in from all over the state. Watch it go one, two, three, four back in because he knows that you're absolutely right.
All right, what do you want to play? Two more things here. One more clip before
I'm
going to play this last clip. But before I do, let me just talk about demand and versus supply for a second, okay? This is really important from an economic standpoint. You know, the good news is that I'm down in Florida. I went out to a restaurant Sunday night. Packed, which is good. Packed, good. Okay, packed. Like it's 25% capacity packed. So don't go. What restaurant? We got a good touch. No. They were following the rules, doing the right thing. Packed meaning that there was a
stay in New York.
There was a 30 to 45 minute wait. So we waited about 30 minutes, and then they were only serving 25% capacity. So normally on a Sunday there wouldn't be a wait, but the demand is still there. That's good news. You know, I went got my hair cut. Everybody, she was packed, right?
Yeah.
She was busier and busy all day long. Good. She was running every 15 minutes, right? So what that tells me is that demand is still there. When demand crumbles, then we have a huge problem. Mm. And it may at some point, if people don't go back to work, right? If we have bad policy decisions, like extending unemployment until 2024, right, which is what the Democrats really want to do, those bad policy decisions ultimately hurt demand in the long term because they make people dependent on the government, and the government just gives them enough to get by, not enough to actually thrive.
Running out of money.
Right?
Running out of other people's money.
But it's,
there's only so long you can extend unemployment.
Exactly.
With, you know, $25, $26 trillion in debt now.
But it's easy to reopen supply. All we have to do is turn back on the economy, right?
Yeah.
The reality of it is this may actually cause some inflation here because you still have a lot of demand for goods and services. You're going to have, if we stay much longer, close much longer, we're going to have a lot of companies that you point out earlier are not going to come back, right?
Yeah.
So you're still going to have demand, but you may have lack of supply.
That I grew up with that was crazy. Like a staple in my hometown, and it just closed. I'm like, oh, my God, I was so sad. Yep. I saw that thing has lasted through...
Everything.
Real estate, commercial real estate collapses, banking collapses.
Yeah. 1980 recession.
It made it through the tech wreck, made it through the financial Great Depression or Great Recession.
Yep.
Couldn't withstand the flu, but of course we were told, told to shut down.
Couldn't withstand government bureaucracy and really tyranny is what it is, right? I mean, I feel bad for that business owner in Michigan. He was literally in tears. He's 70-some years old. He owns a music store. He's like, I just can't go on. He goes, but yet I'm watching the Walmart literally across the street from my business.
Yeah.
Packed. How disheartening is that, right? Yep. You can go into a Walmart, but you can't get your hair cut. So anyway.
How asinine is
that? It's ridiculous.
How asinine is that?
But
I mean, just
it's
beyond
so
it.
Dumb.
I don't care, Republican, Democrat, but I'll say Democrats because you're really the morons that are shutting this thing down right now.
Yep.
Shame on you. Shame on you. Those job losses are on you.
Absolutely.
Those depressions and suicides, those are on you.
But
you want to point it to all these business owners that want to open up and you want to say those COVID deaths are on you? Okay. The suicides are on you. The depression, anxiety, that's on you. This 74-year-old man who's going to lose everything he's worked for, that's on you.
Sadly, even the Democrats own businesses too. Right? I mean, this is affecting Democrats, too. I mean, I know a couple, at least. I mean, I know the photography place on Main Street, not far from our office, right? She's an absolute liberal. She ran for Congress as a Democrat, right? In fact, she's taken our photos over time. In fact, some of our business photos she took for us, right?
Well,
but she's a liberal, right? Her business is closed, just like ours.
A lot of people are closed. That's a great point. And there's going to be a bunch of Democrats that you're going to see. To me, I think maybe the dismantling of the Democrat Party. There could be some positives that come out of this. One of them is maybe we actually do right-size the size of government in certain places.
Either that or they're going to win and we're going to have socialism.
I don't know, but yeah. But I'll tell you this, like, you know, the states like Florida and Texas are winning, right? You're going to see more and more people leaving for that freedom.
Yep.
And, you know, Governor DeSantis doing a great job, right? Balancing the budget. Those states are going to come out of this. It's like buying low in the stock market, right?
Yep.
They're going to come out of this bigger and better. They're going to have a little more people going down. By the way, they're going to have the right people going down. Those are business owners and people that have worked hard their whole lives. And they're just sick and tired of paying New York State. Those are the people moving down to Florida. It's not the welfare recipient. That's who's going to be stuck here, as you pointed out. They don't. First of all, they don't have the resources to move. Second of all, if they're riding the well for a gravy train, and they find out that they cap out at $1,000 a month in Florida, they're not going.
Yeah, no better place. So, but the idea that demand is still there, I think, is a huge positive. So, any takeaway from this is that so far demand is intact, right? As long as demand is intact, supply is going to be okay. Supply, we can easily gin up supply by things like tax cuts and things like that. Supply side economics works, despite all the people saying it's heresy. It works. It's worked for 30, 40 years. It works, right? Mm-hmm. So but demand is hard to rekindle. So once we lose demand, that's a lot harder to get people to open up. People get nervous and fearful. They stop spending money, and that's a bigger turnaround.
Really good sign of a leading economic indicator, right? Because it says I'm spending money today because I believe in my future, right?
Right.
I'm going out to dinner
because I believe
I'm going to have a paycheck in the future. When you don't get that demand, that's when you get the negative future. Outlook is bleak, right? I can't go out to dinner today. I'm not going to do this today because I'm not getting a paycheck in the future, to your point, right?
Well, that's where they worry about deflation, right? Yeah. So, we hear a lot of the economists talk about, worried about a deflationary environment. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to have more inflation. Because, again, you're going to have goods and services like those pizzerias. Mm-hmm. Some of those are going to go away, right? So the ones that are left are going to be able to either serve more pizzas, and they're some probably going to raise their prices too, right?
Yep.
All right, one last thing. Now I'm going to play this last clip here. This is really a video clip. I mean, it's really, if you're listening to this podcast, it's not going to mean much to you, but it is funnier than funny. It's about a two-minute clip.
And
we'll
replace
end with
the
this.
Elevator with a mask. Go to our YouTube channel, Financial Guys YouTube channel. Even if you don't watch this, you've already listened to it, watch the end of this, the herd mentality, because if you replace the elevator with mask, you'll understand what's going on today.
I'll put it on our Twitter feed, too. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those places, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, and you can find out all information on what we do. If you are watching the podcast on YouTube, thank you. Hit that little bell icon below, and that way you'll get alerted to when the new podcasts come out. Tuesday night is when we release the audio version on iTunes and Spotify and those places. Wednesday afternoon, the Wednesday evening is when we release the video version of this. So if you're listening to this on your drive home Tuesday night, thank you again for listening. But if you get a chance, go watch the YouTube video, because this clip, I mean, this really shows you the power of propaganda, the power of the mind. This was done back in the 1940s and 50s. It was like a funny comedy show, and Prudential used it for one of their commercials. And it really is just brilliant. And it shows you the power of suggestion, and not to follow the herd mentality is what the whole point of the Pru commercial is. But let me play this, because it really is just priceless. It's hilarious. So anyway, for those of you that that want more information on what we do, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com.
Website, thefinancialguys.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
If you want to view this, it's everybody's doing it. This one's only got like 803 views. It's been around for a while, so I'm glad people keep putting it up there. We'll rip it and make sure we have it. But it's about a two-minute clip. Absolutely hilarious. Everyone's doing
it. Before YouTube takes
it. It'll be
it
gone.
Down.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the power of suggestion here. Everyone's doing it.
Gentlemen in the elevator now is a candid star. These folks who are entering, the man with the
white candid
shirt,
camera or
with
something.
The trench coat, and subsequently one other member of our staff, will face the rear. And you'll see how this man in the trench coat tries to maintain his individuality.
Slowly turn.
Little by little. He looks at his watch, but he's really making an excuse for turning just a little bit more to the wall. Now we'll try it once again. Here's the candid subject. Here comes the candid camera staff, three of them at least. And this man has apparently been in groups before.
This is the best.
So they all get in the elevator, all facing the back of the elevator. Yeah. And this guy's facing the front. It's like finally he turns around to do everything that everybody else does, right?
Right.
Now, here's a fella with his hat on in the elevator. First he makes a full turn to the rear, and Charlie closes the door. A moment later, we'll open a door. Everybody's changed positions.
I love this.
So he changed it. Everybody started moving.
Hilarious.
That's great. Switch the elevator with masks, folks. That's what's happening.
Now we'll see if we can see if we can use group pressure for some good. Now, in a moment, on Charlie's signal, everybody turns forward. There it is. Notice they take off their hats.
He takes off his hat.
Yep. And now, do you think we could reverse the procedure? Watch.
Yep.
Switch the elevator with masks and switch the, actors with the mainstream media, and there you
It's human nature to follow others, but when it comes to investing, what's right for everyone is not necessarily right for you. So that's a great
week in the market, and don't forget to rebalance your portfolios. You know, it doesn't mean this is over, folks. There is a ton of economic damage, and you better get ready for volatility for months to come. The opening of this economy is going to be key. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you this, the opening of New York and California are going to be essential, right?
No doubt.
As liberal as they are, as nuts as they are, they're huge parts of the economic system here in this country and globally. And it needs to be open. And so, you know, the opening of those two places can really damage the rest of this country. You know, leaders, of course, you know, Florida, Texas. I mean, they get one out of every three jobs in this country are created out of Texas. Huge, right? They're getting it. They're on their way. And that's what the stock market's pricing in. The stock market's saying, look, the rest of the country is opening. At some point, people will just all leave New York or they're going to have to open, right?
Right.
That's what the market is pricing. It's also pricing in huge amounts of economic stimulus that have just been thrown at this economy. And if you've been saying the demand, you're talking about people that were collecting, you know, $200 a week. Now we're collecting $800 a week for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to spend it. Trust me, that's going to go in the economy. And the market's pricing some of that stuff in. So
we'll see.
It doesn't mean you just sit back and do nothing. As this, hopefully you rebalanced your portfolio at Dow 29,000, at Dow 19,000, and you're doing it again at 25 and 26 and 27. As the market comes back, embrace technology. Little subtle changes along the way will make you a successful investor. By the way, you can go to our website for any information, thefinancialguys.com. Upcoming workshops. You did an estate planning workshop last week, a virtual online workshop. 33 people signed up. It was really cool. We had our Social Security workshop the week before. Totally sold out. So go to our training at our website and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Anything you want to add, Glenn, before sign off here?
No, another great podcast, Mike. Nice job.
All right. Sounds good. Catch us on the radio stations, Financial Guys Radio Broadcasting. Use us as a resource, folks, if you need our help. Everything is on our website, thefinancialguys.com. We'll see you next week.